This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Always a shot in the arm to hear the theme from Carmen on Spouting Off. Karen Cataline, happy to be with you after a week of doing other people's shows. It is a pleasure to be home on Spouting Off. I have two wonderful guests this time. Could not turn it down. So we're going to get right to our first guest in just one moment. First, I have a new piece out that is at attention. It's called Why Socialists Are Threatened by Individuality. And on my own homepage, it is Shades of Gray. Why, I write so many of these things, I forget the exact title. But it is, I'll find it, The Same Shade of Gray, Why Socialists Are Threatened by Individuality. So please take a look at that at either westernjournal.com or my website, karencataline.com. And we have so much to talk about. That's why we're going to have two guests for the price of one this time around. However, I just want to mention that Democrats seem to be unhappy once again. And when Democrats, leftists, progressives are unhappy, it means we're doing better. The stock market is screaming all of a sudden as we speak on this, our number show 115. The stock market, last I checked, the Dow was at 27,244.20. The very, very, very top high happened with the Dow February 12th of this year, 29,551. I'm pretty sure that a lot of the leftists are just miserable today because they don't seem to like it when America does good. So on the macro level, it's important to remember what aggravates our formidable opponents, and that is resilience, thriving, recovery, success, faith in God, strength, and standing up for principles they keep trying to tear down. And to that end, we have someone who I am pleased to have with us and who I have the pleasure of filling in whenever he asks me. His name is Keith Hansen, one of the most interesting and knowledgeable, multi-talented talk show hosts I think I've ever met, Keith Hansen. He's been in the business for a long time, and I'll let you say a little more about your bio before we get started. We're going to be talking about whether or not the thing that everybody is rioting about these days, which at the moment, I can't remember what I'm trying to say, of racism is suddenly endemic, is systemic. That's the word I could not remember. So Keith Hansen, welcome to Spouting Off.
It is great. It's great to be here. And it's kind of interesting. It's now the roles are reversed. So I'm in your territory now. First of all, thank you to thanks for having me on today. And thank you for everything that you've done for me, filling in for me. I greatly appreciate it. And, I reached out to you last night because I did a show last night. In fact, I devoted the entire program to a monologue. I didn't have a guest, and I laid this out. And I think this is really important. The more that I have an opportunity to talk about it and to really lay everything out in my head and get it out, the more that I realize that this is a message that people need to hear and they need to understand what's going on. Because this, I think in the next 30 minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to lay some things out that are going to help people make sense of what is going on. And it's really quite frightening when you look at it.
Yes, it is.
So
go right ahead. Since I had a brain fart, it was great that you stepped in there because that stuff happens to you as a talk show host. You have an enormous amount of knowledge, and let's get started. So is systemic racism real, or is this a false narrative?
Well, it depends on the context that you mean. And so I'm going to answer that this way. Is systemic racism real? Yes, it is. But we need to qualify what that is. All right. Now, I want to take you back in time. We're going to get into the way, way back machine. And we're going to go back to the 60s. And we're going to bring up an organization called the Weather Underground. And I'm sure you are aware of this. Your listeners are aware of the Weather Underground. So the Weather Underground were a group of radical communist revolutionaries. And they fancied themselves as radical communist revolutionaries, led by two individuals who would eventually become husband and wife and key advisors to Barack Obama, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers. Now, the Weather Underground, the whole idea of the Weather Underground was to bring about a socialist system which would eventually pave the road for communism. What's important to remember is that socialism and communism are not separate concepts. It's a progression, and I don't mean that in the classical sense of the term progressive, but it is a progressive system. First comes the socialism, then comes the communism. The socialism aspect is when, at least in how it's designed to be. Socialism is when the state takes over all private ownership of wealth and then redistributes that wealth to people who do not have or who need or whatever the case may be, from each according to his need, or to each according to his need, from each according to his ability, a tenet of Marx and Engels and the Communist Manifesto. The actual phase of communism comes in where government is dissolved because people have learned how to live in harmony, having equality, that there's no private ownership of wealth. If I need it, you provide it. If you need it, I provide it. And we live in this rose-tinted world filled with rainbows and unicorn farts, and everybody's happy, and everything is wonderful, okay? Well, the problem is that, and you'll hear people say communism is a great idea on paper. No, communism is a fundamentally flawed concept on paper. It has never actually been implemented. Even in the regimes that have been referred to as communists, specifically the former Soviet Union and China, these are not communist regimes. These are socialist regimes. As a matter of fact, the official title of the Soviet Union was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. True communism has never been achieved. Man has never been able to get past the socialism part because, well, I guess here's the bottom line. Can you think of a government or a regime that would take over 100% absolute power and control over all wealth and property and then simply dissolve themselves out of this attitude of benevolence?
Gee, we can't even get a law or a toll to go away once they get power.
Correct. Right. Exactly. Right. You know, it's the same thing with the sales tax and an income tax. Well, we just need 1% just to bridge this budgetary gap. And then, you know, we'll do away with it. And then, of course, 1% becomes 2%, becomes 4%, becomes 8% or 10% or 13%, depending on what state you happen to live in. So this is the issue. Now, the Weather Underground were attempting to implement. They were trying to transform this country into their version of a socialist utopia, which would eventually lend itself towards the establishment of a true communist system. Well, the problem was a group of college kids running around bombing buildings and killing people didn't sit well with the American people. See, the communist revolutionaries of the 60s and 70s had a real issue when it came to the palatability of their product. Their marketing sucked, their message sucked, and mainstream America would never get behind violent revolution, especially a violent revolution that sought to overthrow the pillars and the institutions of this country. Okay, so I just want to establish that. File that little nugget away because we're going to revisit that here in a second. Mm-hmm. What you're seeing right now with the whole George Floyd thing, you're seeing rioting in the streets, and now the narrative has changed. You're going to notice that the narrative has changed. The narrative has always been the same. It was the same with Rodney King. It was the same with Michael Brown. It was the same with Trayvon Martin. It was the same with Freddie Gray. They were talking about racist, and with the exception of Rodney King, because Rodney King wasn't killed. We're talking about the murder of black and brown people by white people. And so you have this racism. Now, when we say systemic racism, I want you to think for a moment. Take pause and think about that term, systemic racism. What is the first thing that comes to mind?
I think, well, I know you're going somewhere with this, but I mean, for me, I think nobody really knows what they mean. What they really mean is that America is a racist country, period. Perfect. End of sentence.
Right. So systemic racism is, and when we look at it from this context, systemic, system-wide or throughout the entire body, racism, you know, the preferential right. treatment or the dislike of somebody based upon some other type of varying demographic, race or color or sexual preference, whatever the case may be.
Race.
So you're seeing
if it's
right
racism, now, it's race.
It's racism, race, right. But yeah. but that's become an umbrella term for everything. If you don't like a gay person.
Yeah, but we don't want to give in to that, just right. throwing that out there.
Right. But that's,
I don't want to give in to those umbrella terms because that's playing on the left's field.
Well, you're right. But, you're absolutely yes. right. And that's mm-hmm. what we illustrate here. Terminology is important. Okay. Now, yes. on the surface, the calls for the elimination of systemic racism is something that not only, or at least it seems like not only could everybody get behind this or everybody should get behind this. I mean, who, what rationally thinking, critically thinking, responsible adult likes the idea of racism?
No, because it's a false premise. I mean, right. Look at Candace Owens' video. There is no systemic racism in America today.
But here's the thing. That doesn't
matter. That's the excuse.
That's the excuse, but that doesn't matter. That's just like the anti-gunner saying, well, we say, well, the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And they come out and they say, no, that's not correct. Well, listen, any idiot can look up the crime statistics and realize that good people stop bad people with guns all the time. That's not the case. What that's designed to do is to make the argument more palatable to people. Now, this is the same thing with this concept.
I agree. Racism. I do.
Well-intentioned people are falling prey to this term, and specifically to a lack of understanding about what's being referred to specifically when that term systemic racism is used. I've been getting inundated with emails from companies whose mailing lists I've signed up with. There's a clothing outlet out here in the eastern part of the country called Burlington Coat Factory. Burlington Coat Factory sends me out an email saying that, you know, we stand behind the Black Lives Matter movement. Uber sent an email out the other day. Well, we stand behind the Black Lives Matter. Fortune 500 companies are now coming out and getting behind this movement. Uh-huh. Daily Wire, Amanda Prestigiacomo, who writes for the Daily Wire, published a piece yesterday. Headline, Megan Rapinoe, of course, that's the soccer player. Legend Lizzo and more celebrities sign open letter to defund the police. So now you've got Fortune 500 companies that are subscribing to this Black Lives Matter thing. You've got members of the entertainment culture and the entertainment segment of our society that are coming out that are buying into this thing. Mainstream America is buying into this concept of systemic racism. But here's the thing. What is systemic racism?
Mm-hmm. You
systemic
tell us.
Racism is capitalism. Systemic racism is the private ownership of wealth. Systemic racism is private ownership of land and tangible property. Systemic racism is the free market system. All of the cornerstones of America, the American way of life, all of the hallmarks of Western civilization, that is a systemic racism. That is the racism that they're referring to. Who are they pandering to? They're pandering to poor black and poor brown inner city residents. And they're saying that you don't have anything. You're not able to enjoy the American dream because, well, the system is racist and it's stacked against you.
And they've been making that claim forever. I mean, can't we just, I mean, you know, I love you. You're just the best. And we have like 2 minutes before our commercial break. And one of the great things about talk radio is that we all, even the people that we agree with, see things so differently and put things in different terms. You know, I just kind of go, can't we cut to the chase and say that this is a blatant lie designed to cover up the fact that they want to subvert America for socialism/communism. And if you listen to my friend Trevor Loudon and you ask him what's the difference between socialism and communism, he says, oh, about 5 years. Although I do get your point that they've never had pure communism. And of course, the leftist communists always say, well, we've just never done it right because I've not been the one in charge. So I just want to say all this stuff is simply to divert attention from the fact that the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa, which is coming to Colorado in a big way tonight and over the weekend, and are already here, basically want to use terror and fear to overthrow America as it was founded. Can't we just say that?
Yes, but the problem is, Karen, is that now it is being, the philosophies are being adopted by mainstream culture. Mainstream people, average people are out there who would never support the Weather Underground, but are supporting the exact same sentiments that fueled the Weather Underground because they've perfected the message, they've perfected the marketing, they've put a nice shine on it, and they've altered language to make it more palatable to the average person.
On that, we agree. Doug, our esteemed producer, aren't we about ready to take a break or am I off? I didn't get a message from you. So let me see what I'm doing here because I don't want to interrupt our esteemed guests. We've got 30 seconds. We're going to take a commercial break. And it is a problem to try and do all this in two 15-minute segments, but we're going to try. And then we'll have Keith Hansen back because he is a treasure and I love speaking with him. We're going to talk to, we're going to be back with Keith Hansen on Spouting Off right after this. And I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Thanks for staying with us, Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. Also, thank you to K-Star Radio Network that rebroadcasts this show, and you're going to want to listen to it and hopefully tell your friends. The podcast will be on my website shortly, KarenCataline.com. We're talking to my friend and colleague, Keith Hansen, a very accomplished talk show host who is giving us a little bit of a treatise and having to truncate it a little bit for us on what is systemic racism and where they're going with all this and why is it so dangerous? The ideas here. Go for it, Keith.
All right. Well, so we've already talked about, we've already established that the concept of systemic racism is referring to capitalism, the private ownership of wealth, the ability to generate wealth, the ability to store wealth, and the ability to maintain private ownership and control over tangible property, our system, our free market system. So how does this play into the defund the police? Okay, because what you're going to see, and this was the topic du jour yesterday, and I want to give you just a couple of examples. The U.S. edition of the UK-based Guardian ran the headline yesterday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Movement to defund police gains unprecedented support across the United States. Forbes, yesterday, 11:28 a.m., L.A. mayor slashes LAPD budget as calls to defund police slowly picks up steam. Fox Business ran the headline at 5:12 p.m. yesterday evening. Protesters and officials call for the police to be defunded. And today on the Daily Mail, that's another UK-based dailymail.com headline, Minneapolis City Council is considering disbanding the police department after saying it is beyond reform following George Floyd's death. At least four Minneapolis City Council members have voiced support for disbanding the police department. They say the department can be replaced with a new system involving social workers and medics. Council member Jeremiah Ellison argues the police are past the point of being able to be reformed. By the way,
is he related to Keith Ellison, by the way?
Jeremiah Ellison is the son of Keith Ellison, who was the former deputy chair of the Democrat National Committee. He's also a Muslim. He's also a supporter of Louis Farrakhan. As a matter of fact, if you didn't happen to catch this, Jeremiah Ellison on May 31st at 1:52 p.m. sent out a tweet, quote, "I hereby declare officially my support for Antifa. Unless someone can prove to me Antifa is behind the burning of black and immigrant-owned businesses in my ward, I'll keep focusing on stopping the white power terrorists who are actually attacking us." And he directed that to Donald Trump. Now, why is there such a push to defund the police? The answer comes in understanding what the role of the police department is.
Right.
The role of the police department, I know this is going to be earth-shattering when I disclose this, law enforcement's job is to enforce laws. That's it. Now, yes. Law enforcement does not have a legal mandate to protect property, people, places, and things, but they do it in a roundabout way, because among the laws that law enforcement are expected to uphold are laws that protect property, laws that protect the rights of people who have interest in wealth, interest in property, and more specifically, law enforcement holds accountable via arrest and introduction into the criminal justice system. It holds accountable and penalizes those who would attempt to avail themselves of wealth or property when they have no valid interest in it or any claim to it.
Yes.
Okay. Now, well, what's the goal of the communist revolutionary? The goal of the communist revolutionary is to smash capitalism and return large, vast stores of wealth to the people, which is where they believe it is. What stands in the way of the communist revolutionary seizing by force, if necessary, another person's property, another person's wealth, another person's business, and simply redistributing those assets to other people who feel as though they are in some way, shape, form, or manner deserving of that wealth or property?
The police.
But if the police are now out of the
or
way,
law enforcement.
The communist revolutionaries can now, right. by force, if necessary, take. So this is also why we have to eliminate the Second Amendment, because if we
absolutely. Let me just throw in that after the Antifa, which are basically communists, made threats and they destroyed Manhattan and stole designer dresses, they made sure to tell us that they're going to go into the suburbs and into small towns and take what is ours.
Correct. Right. So again, you know, when we start to understand this in context, you know, when people debate, when people argue, oftentimes they don't listen to understand. I used to say this to my ex-girlfriend. This could be why now she's an ex-girlfriend. when we would get into an argument or a debate, and I would say, you know something, you don't listen to understand and comprehend me. You listen just simply to respond. Uh-huh. And that's what we do so often. We don't listen to actually comprehend. So when somebody says, and this is what I would encourage your listeners to do, when they hear a friend or a family member or a coworker talking about systemic racism, well, what is systemic racism?
They don't know, Keith.
The root of this.
They don't know.
The concept of systemic racism stems from the lack of equality that exists in a capitalist free market system in society.
But see, what I would answer, and it's probably not, that's what's so great about it, that's what makes horse races. What I would answer is the term gives them license and justification to point the finger and claim to be guilty anybody who is innocent. That enables them to smear all white people, all Christians, all men. It's for me, it's collectivism. That enables when you have these broad-based terminologies that some ideologues in academia came up with. It's simply an excuse to say all white people are guilty no matter what. Did you see the video of a white woman kneeling before a black man because she has white privilege? Right. That white privilege and all of this gobbledygook is a way to allow people to cause to be guilty, to say they are guilty without having done anything. That way they can smear them and say, you know what? You are guilty. We want your property. We all see it the same. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just in different words.
Well, you want my property and I don't want to give you my property. So you're not going to take my property.
And I deem you guilty.
And if you try to take my property, I'm going to defend myself using my Second Amendment rights I'm for police to come and hold you accountable for your attempt at unlawfully seizing my property.
Yeah, and it also absolves the thief from any guilt, because if he robs, he rapes, he steals, he burns down cities, he can say, I'm a victim and you're guilty and I'm not, and therefore you can't. And that's what's happening. The leftists are saying, you know what? They're not rioters. They're protesters. You can't call them rioters. That's racist, right?
Right. So, you know, what I would encourage your listeners to do is to look up and do a little bit of studying on Kohlberg's theory of moral development. Because the concept of
Kohlberg, spell that.
K-O-H-L-B-E-R-G.
Colbert's
moral development, and what it's doing is it's basically graphing the different stages of moral development and how people develop their morality and the ensuing ethics system that a person holds based upon the stage of development of their morality. And so the concept of it's the Robin Hood concept. Well, it's not actually wrong if I'm stealing from somebody if I'm stealing somebody else's excess and I'm giving it to somebody who needs it. Well, then it's really not wrong. It's a warped moral system. It's a warped.
No, you're noble. Now, I've heard a different story about Robin Hood. They were actually fighting the state. But in generality, what we do is we elevate criminality in order to break the system. I mean, I could give you a Jewish thing with what's going on here, and it has to do with that everything is upside down. Good is bad.
Right.
Criminals are victims. Law-abiding citizens are criminals.
Well, and the other thing
everything that America stands for has been turned upside down.
I want to get this in here. That the concept of systemic racism, as it's being described, what it does is it absolves the individual of personal responsibility.
Oh, baby, that's what I wrote about last week. Okay. That's what my piece is about.
What matters is not the equality. What matters isn't the equality that exists. It's the equality of the outcome, which is something that can never be guaranteed.
Correct.
It's they blame poverty. They want to say, well, you know, the reason why you don't get to enjoy the American dream is because, well, you're living in poverty. Poverty is not the cause of somebody not living the American dream. It's the effect of other inhibitors like crime, like drugs, like lack of motivation, lack of education.
And I might add, just because I just had this insight recently, and that is that when you take someone's personal responsibility away, when you can say, for example, this criminal is really not responsible for his or her behavior, then what you're doing is taking away their freedom. And people don't see that connection. If you are not personally accountable, you cannot be free.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So, you know, this is the entire thing. The entire concept of this argument of systemic racism is nothing more than a repackaged, rebranded, made to be palatable to the average person attempt at destroying the fundamental systems that have made the United States of America great. Private ownership of wealth, private ownership of land and tangible property, the free market system, the ability to create something out of nothing and have ownership of that.
Having privacy, having things that are private from the state, from the government. We have less than 2 minutes, and I hate to do this. I could talk to you for 3 hours. I was a little bit tongue-tied because you have so much to say. I'm going to have you on again, and you'll be my only guest, and then we can take more time with this because it's important stuff. If you listening would like to get a load of more of Keith Hansen, Keith, tell us how they can connect with you and listen to your wonderful program, which is 5 days a week.
It is
on the Global Star Radio Network.
Global Star Radio Network. If they're listening to you on K-Star Radio Network, they can catch that there as well. Their particular geographic area doesn't happen to have me on terrestrial. The easiest thing to do is go to KeithHansonShow.com. That's KeithHansonShow.com. You can catch the program live there starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can catch streamed archived programs on demand 24/7 there. You can head over to iHeartRadio and YouTube. Look for Keith Hansen Show there. You can download the program as a podcast through your favorite podcast app like iTunes and Spreaker. There's a million ways to get it. If you Google Keith Hansen Show, it's going to come up. And specifically, the show that I did yesterday, the 4th of June, 2020, was episode number 725. If you Google Keith Hansen Show 725, I lay everything out over the course of that entire show.
And
people need to understand the language that's being used. They have to understand.
And it's so important. And the other thing is, you can tell what a professional Keith Hansen is. It's such an honor and a pleasure to learn from you, to consider you a colleague. Thank you so much for joining us, Keith Hansen, and we'll have you again on. We'll have you on again real soon. You make me tongue-tied, Keith. I'm telling you.
Karen, God, thank you for everything that you do. Be safe.
Thank you for what you do. He's a treasure. He really is. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to have another wonderful guest talking about the police, the military, and why the left doesn't want any law enforcement, whether it's police or anybody else. We'll be back right after this, so stay tuned. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. And boy, oh boy, we have an embarrassment of riches. Not only do we have Keith Hansen, but we also have a guest that I haven't had a chance to speak to yet. But I look forward to it greatly. His name is Ken LaCourt, and let me find his bio here. Ken LaCourt, founder of LaCourt News, and it has a motto, News Unspun, Talk Uncensored. Let me find that. Yes, blah, blah, blah. Ken was a senior executive at the Fox News Channel from 1998 to 2016, where for the last decade, he's headed the editorial team at FoxNews.com. He's also known for spearheading the release of two Fox News employees, despite threats from militants after the journalists were kidnapped in Gaza in 2006. Boy, I wish we had a time to talk about that. Welcome to Spouting Off, Ken LaCourt.
Terrific. Thank you for having me. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. Let's jump right in. And speaking of Fox News, I have prepared. This is what we're going to talk about in this next half hour. You know, for a while, Tucker Carlson seemed to have gotten a little bit off kilter with the coronavirus, and he is hotter than ever. And I put out his latest, I've been putting out a lot of his stuff, but I have about 60 seconds of something that I want our listeners to hear, and it sets up perfectly what you wrote about and what we're going to talk about, and that is Daniel Esper, I believe, is defying the president. And Tucker Carlson on Fox News had Brian Dean Wright. And for our listeners, I just want you to know, I was so delighted to see someone, he happens to be a Democrat, get passionate, not just a talking head saying, oh, let's talk about, this is like dog catcher time, you know, and this is something terribly, terribly important. And here's Brian Dean Wright getting passionate about it. Go.
So now we have a media filling the airways full of this crap.
Yeah.
Put it all together. And the piece that you mentioned, no more police because we're going to defund those folks. We can't put forward the National Guard because that would be escalation. So now we take off the military from the table. What does that leave, Tucker? Let me tell you what it leaves. Vigilante justice.
That's exactly
it's you
right.
And me and everybody watching this program arming ourselves. Is that how we run a republic? No, sir, it is not.
You're
and
exactly
you do not
right.
want a country that goes there. And that is precisely where the nation is headed. And we need for all of our leadership to understand that. And if Secretary Esper doesn't get it, doesn't understand that the oath is to protect ourselves from threats, both foreign and domestic, by God, get the hell out of the Pentagon and let somebody lead who gets it. Because that is the oath that he took, that I took, and that the people of this country demand of our leadership in this moment, because we are on fire. Someone do something about it.
Wow. Ken LaCourte.
Well, he was certainly passionate, wasn't he?
Yeah. And it was refreshing in a sad sort of way because he's speaking for so many of us who are devastated. I'm glad in a terrible way that my father isn't here to see what's happening to this country. What are your thoughts about that and in general, Daniel Esper and what he did?
You know, I mean, look, most Americans want to see civil order restored back in the streets. In quite frankness, it looks like it's getting that way. I guess we'll have to see a weekend and what's happening. I don't think that the violence that we've seen in most cities are because police have been overwhelmed. It's really been because the policies of a lot of cities have been to back off in the early stages of this, which then allowed the lawless to see that there was no authority. Look, this happened in 1992. Reginald Denny was a truck driver who, right after the verdict of in the Rodney King riots, was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and for 10 minutes we saw him beaten to a pulp live nationwide, and there weren't cops for miles around, and that was the signal in 1992 that cops aren't here, you can do what you want to do. You know, we saw the same signal in Minneapolis when they lit a police station on fire, and the police made no efforts whatsoever to either put the fire out or go regain control. That's just a signal to the bad guys and the mob that you can run roughshod and they can do whatever they want. Look, I think reasonable people can disagree, probably even within the administration. I mean, the president still has not yet called out any official military, so it's been his choice up to this point to not do that. Say, at what point do we bring in a military role into that, or at what point is it not necessary? I don't necessarily think that's a moral versus immoral argument. The moral argument is we need to make sure that people aren't being beaten in the streets and that we reduce and eliminate the craziness that we've seen on TV. So, but look, this all mm-hmm. kind of comes down to the media for the past decades have been painting a false image of what's happening to blacks by cops in America. I mean, look, there's a bad relationship between a lot of black communities and cops. You know, the cops get tired of them because when they're running around, all they see is the dregs of there, and they start treating people like crap. And the blacks in those communities are often mistreated not usually shot or strangled, but treated in a bad way by
but Ken,
cops.
But Ken, I'm not sure if that's true. I mean, that was another
spectacular. It is. You know what? I've seen it happen.
That's a spectacular show that Tucker Carlson did the night before last, in which he wrote, he said the statistics. Now, I would never say that all cops are great or anything else, but they're saying cops are racist across the board, which is blatantly bigoted towards cops for an end that we have just finished talking about in the first half hour, that to get rid of cops brings about a socialist a socialist agenda that really has nothing to do with cops at all. But that said, you know, I used to be a great fan of Live PD. It's on tonight. It's on tomorrow night. I used to watch it. But when law-abiding citizens become the hunted and cops are demonized across the board, it's not all that interesting to watch Live PD anymore, because what you see is that blacks do in inner cities commit a larger proportion of the crime, and that's where they are. I have not seen the black community as a whole, except for law-abiding black people who are getting hurt more than anyone else, stand up and say, we need to take responsibility for crimes being committed. You know who did that? Candace Owens. If you haven't seen that video recently, she's the one who seems to have the standing to be able to say that. So I don't think we ought to be conceding to these narratives that are broad-based and unfair. What do you think?
Well, there are multiple things going on there, right? I mean, certainly the concept that police are targeting them and that blacks are killed more disproportionately or all those things, you know, the numbers don't back that up. But on the other hand, some cops are jerks. And they're probably jerkier in those communities. You know, even as a kid, I dealt with cops. You know, a lot of them like the dark glasses, and so you know, I'm not going to act like every one of them out there is Andy Griffith, because a lot of them treat people badly, and that's why they become cops. But that's radically different from blacks are being hunted down in the street, or this entire narrative that, you know, somehow the black community, which, you know, it's like, I hate to be like, oh my gosh, they're bad, but look, blacks account for about 12% of the population. They account for about 50% of the murderers.
50% of the murders. That's exactly right.
And if you say that, you're a racist. And 50% of the murder victims, which is bad as well.
Which is even worse. And the black community says, oh, well, it's not a crime that was committed by a white guy, so that's okay. All right, we're going to ignore it. But people like Candace Owens do not ignore it. And thank God for her. And people like her.
If you are the media, or if you are a black politician, or if you are a black activist, you know, you don't get elected on saying, hey, you guys need to get better. You get elected on saying, those white people are coming after us, and you're poor, and your kids aren't graduating school, and your kids are on drugs. It's not your fault.
But you get elected, Ken, sorry for interrupting because it's a fascinating conversation. You get elected as a Democrat politician saying that. And now suddenly one of the things the Democrats are so threatened by is that Donald Trump is turning a lot of black heads, and they're walking away from the Democrat Party because they realize they're being used as pawns in this agenda, and they're getting hurt worse than anybody. Anybody. We have about 45 seconds. We have to take a break. So your thoughts before we do that, and thank you for staying with us for one more segment after that.
Sure. Look, the media has then gotten every anecdote that they can and fanned those flames to go along with that narrative.
That's why when a
black cop shoots an Australian woman in Minneapolis, people don't riot. But when it comes the other way around, I mean, we've heard this guy's name so many times because they're using that as anecdotal ways to build up that false narrative. And I think the media is probably the largest driver of this of the problems and the cities that are burning right now.
Without a doubt. And they lean very far to the left as well. We have to take a break. We're talking to a wonderful guest, Ken LaCourte. Stellar resume, but better yet, it's really fun to talk about these things. I just wish that the seriousness of the issues that we're talking about were not so profound. I'm talking to a lot of people that are very, very discouraged. And don't lose hope, guys. There's more to come. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk with Ken LaCourte some more right after this. You're listening to Spouting Off.
Kneel before Zod.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Kneel before Zod!
Kneel before Zod!
Kneel before Zod!
Kneel before Zod!
Thank you, Doug, my producer, for that. That was every time I hear kneeling, white women being asked to kneel before black men because they have white privilege, I think of kneeling before Zod. So I gave that to Doug, and he made it even better than I ever could have imagined. We got to have a little levity here, but we also have to strengthen ourselves. We're talking to Ken LaCourte, who is founder of LaCourte News. And you've got some great stuff to say about this. I do want to hearken back to the conversation. Thanks for staying with us, Ken. I want to hearken back to the conversation about the fact that in the relatively small town in northern Colorado that I live in, people have been terribly on edge because the rumor has been that Antifa has been here for the last week scoping out places to hit after dark tonight on Friday. So I don't think they're done, and I don't think they will be done until they're made to be done. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. How long will people go burn stuff and do all that? No idea is the short answer. I guess we can look back at our riot history and say, how long did other riots go on? It seems like after 4 or 5 days or 6 days, they lose a little bit of oomph. I mean, clearly the Antifa guys are out there doing their best to juice that up. You know, what we have seen, and just especially in Colorado and most states in America, is it's a lot different to be having shenanigans in the middle of the city when the cops kind of don't care if you bust in some windows and you do all that things. That's very different. And then, you know, we often hear rumors that, well, they're going to come into the suburbs or whatnot. But they're also
they
smart
said
enough
they
to
would.
Know
you know,
yeah, I know. I just
Ken, they said
I just
they would.
Yeah,
I mean, there's an old thing. You know, I'm a nice Jewish girl who is sometimes not so nice. And when terrorists and other people threaten you and tell you what they're going to do, you should probably believe them.
Well, it's look, it's always good to be prepared. But what my point that I was about to make was that the calculus for them changes very much when they go from hitting the Gucci store in Denver versus when they come into a Denver suburb where, you know, 2 out of 3 homes are armed and waiting for them and are not just watching it on TV, but possibly.
Let me correct you. That wouldn't happen in Denver. That would happen outside of Denver in areas much further outside of Denver. And yes, there are some very conservative areas where people are armed. In Denver, they're going to have an easier time of it. Or as I read in a comment section, sad, another joke, is that, okay, the suburbs, people love guns, some of them, but in rural areas, they have backhoes.
Yeah, so it's just like, look, the game changes very differently there, which is why
yes,
you almost never see that. It doesn't mean you can't, of course, but at that point, you know, they're going to be outnumbered 5-1 with, you know, with people with who are ready for something serious in a way like that, and it would be over in a matter of seconds. So, you know, it's good to be on top of things. It's probably not good to ignore any threats, but it's also, you know, we've lived through riots before, and they never seem to spill into the areas where everybody is willing to kill them. And so, you know, I guess I have some optimism in America that way. This is probably not a good week for the anti-Second Amendment people. I mean, this is, you know, I know a lot of liberals have discovered the Second Amendment this week.
Haven't they really? That cannot be underestimated, Ken, because you really got to wonder when people mean you harm and the first thing they want to do is disarm you. I mean, I think Donald Trump had a great quote this week. I can't bring it up out of my head immediately, but he said, you know, it's the Democrats. People buy guns to keep themselves safe and Democrats want to take them away. He has this great ability to just say it as plainly and plain spoken as possible. you know, what's the first thing someone does, a criminal, a crook does? They make sure you don't have guns so they can disarm you and do what they want to you. I mean, it's really not rocket science, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, look, that whole mantra of the police will be there to take care of you if you have a problem, therefore you don't need protection against either police out of control or rioters out of control. You know, when you start seeing that they can't stop a precinct from being burned to the ground, that probably makes you question some of those assumptions.
Boy, is that ever true. In our I don't know, about 5 minutes left, let's go back to one of the reasons you came on, although it's really fun to talk to you about all of this because, you know, a lot of people out there, and I told you, I'm hearing from a lot of people that I know personally and professionally who are privately really depressed about what's happening in our country and how it could have come this far. And you are an optimist, it sounds like. And we were talking about Mark Esper and the fact that Brian Dean Wright, among others, said that he needs to get the hell out of the Defense Department if he's not going to do as his commander-in-chief asked. What are your thoughts about that? Do you have any additional thoughts about that? And whether or not you think Trump may need to or ought to bring in the military in order to keep the peace?
Yeah, good questions. As I said before, I actually do think we have the resources probably in place for what we're seeing right now. I mean, look, while this has been widespread, while there have been pockets of really bad things, outside of New York, you know, we haven't seen 1,000 people rioting in Denver or Los Angeles. I mean, you've seen some of that. But look, they'll do what they need to do on that. I think you escalate it first to police, who are better trained for riot control than the U.S. military, right? I mean, police are trained for that. They have weapons that are used for that. They have batons. They have rubber bullets. They have tear gas. They have a lot of things that, you know, the National Guard is also then the secondary step, which is a kind of a joint federal state controlled military. And they're actually trained a little bit more for kind of things like that. And then only if those two are really falling down, I think, do you then say, okay, we're going to bring in the military, which has been done, you know, a dozen times in American history. I think, you know, we know what will happen. If Trump does this, then the narrative immediately turns to he's a dictator. He's Comey, Pasatot. You know, everybody will become a constitutional expert and say how he's horrible.
Of course.
Whatever Trump does is bad, right?
So you ignore that because they're going to say whatever they're going to say anyway.
You do the right thing and you don't worry
about
what your critics are going to say.
Yes, you do.
And obviously the president so far has believed that that's not necessary or he would have done it. And I don't think he's doing it capriciously. And if things are increasing, I'd say look at it more. If things are decreasing, then all right, maybe we're past this and they're at the protest stage or whatnot. But, you know, it's partially a day by day. I mean, last night was certainly probably the best out of any of the last handful of days. And the night before was probably the second best. So, you know, hopefully everybody's calming down a little bit or they've burned everything they're going to burn or whatever they're going to do.
From your mouth to God's ears, we don't have time to go into some of the philosophy that I think is going on. But I'd be remiss in our last couple of minutes to ask you, Ken LaCourt, the fascinating and incomprehensible, but not, juxtaposition between the radical left's approach to a virus that has a 0.4% fatality rate and how they handle rioting. Let's see, they don't want to overwhelm hospitals, so they have to keep law-abiding citizens in their house. They do want to overwhelm the police, so they let prisoners out of jail so they can riot. Really?
Yeah, my favorite fake news story of the week, it was a parody, was churchgoers disguise themselves as rioters to prevent being arrested going to church.
Yes, and so that they can go to church. Exactly
Look, what
right.
What I tell you is that there is no underlying philosophy or truths in a lot of these things. These are power grabs. It's not like anybody's saying. I mean, look, the people who wanted to lock us down at a certain point had just if the virus had just had, you know, it didn't matter what science said at a certain point. So they're really not worried about these rioters all that much. They, you know, people are willing to, this is all as a way among a big chunk of them to, it's all colored by Donald Trump and we hate him and whatever we think,
and
whatever policies might make him look the worst.
Yes, it makes sense when you realize that almost everything that these highly, highly funded people do, they've got their enforcers, they've got the money, they've got all of these things are designed to, as we spoke about, and you weren't there in the first half hour, to bring about socialism slash communism. Gosh, I have only 3 minutes. How terrible. I got to wrap up the show. Oh, my goodness. I'll have to have you on again. Ken LaCourte, how can people find you? Please stay on the line here when we end so that I can get your email address and send you a couple of my pieces. Ken LaCourte, how could people read your stuff?
Well, you can't find me on Facebook because I've been banned there, and I had 3.5 million followers, which were disappeared.
Congratulations,
one
you've arrived.
Yes. Unfortunately, it zapped 90% of my income when that happened.
Oh,
but it's LaCourte News, LaCourte News, and you know, look, we have a lot of conservative leaning stories that are underplayed in the national news media. We pay a lot of attention to the growing censorship among Silicon Valley, because that's kind of, in my opinion, the real grounds where conservatives are going to have to fight over the next 5 or 10 years, because it's the new social square where the way we communicate, and one half of America is getting clamped down on very slowly but undoubtedly and
exactly
true.
Ken LaCourte, thank you. You're a great resource. We will start reading you. We'll link to you on my website as well. Thanks for joining us. That is about all the time that we have for this edition of Spouting Off. Because we now do this show on Friday, and we cover the news all week long, and then the show gets repeated on the weekend, I want to say a special prayer and a special good wishes to law-abiding citizens everywhere who welcome personal accountability, who will protect their homes and families, and they'll restore America to its former greatness. We have a decent and a president who loves America. Thanks to Greg, thanks to Doug. I have Greg on the mind. I don't know why. And please visit me at www.karencataline.com. Doug, our producer in BBS Radio, who produces Spouting Off. Thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when, there's going to be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.